I wonder, have you ever heard of the Bendy Banana Law? The Bendy Banana Law. Well, the Bendy Banana Law was one of the directives that came from the European Union in the year 1998. And the European Union, in their wisdom, decided that you weren't allowed to sell bananas that were bent. Bananas had to be straight. Of course, whenever we hear of a law like that, we laugh at it. How ridiculous can you get? Of course, the European Union are renowned for foolish laws, silly directives. There's actually there was a law recently passed that water bottlers and shops that are companies, factories that make bottled water, they're not allowed to put on the label that water is good for dehydration. Now, of course, everybody knows that if you're dehydrated, the first thing that you're to take is water. But someone approached the European Union about this and they said, sorry, no, you're not allowed to put that on your label. How foolish. We think of some of the laws in our own country today, some of the laws that are on the statute book. Did you know that it's illegal to die in the Houses of Parliament? As if you're going to choose when you die. But this is a law. In the United Kingdom, still to this day, it is illegal to die in the Houses of Parliament. You say maybe I wish some of those characters in the Houses of Parliament would kick the bucket, for they're not very much use. But it's illegal to die in the Houses of Parliament. Did you know that it's illegal to eat mince pies on Christmas Day? This is a law that's actually still on the statute books. Now, you're not going to get a policeman coming to your door on Christmas Day, knocking and asking you, have you had any mince pies today? It's not going to happen, but it's still on the statute book. But it shows you some of the ridiculous laws that are around today. Well, I want to tell you, friends, this morning of laws that are perfect. I want to bring you today to the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And those laws are wonderful and they're perfect. They're not like the laws, the directives from the European Union. They're not like these silly laws that we have even in our own statute book today in the United Kingdom. The laws of God, the Ten Commandments, are perfect. As I've already said, they're the greatest laws that were ever written. And I want us to begin a series today on the Ten Commandments. I've already said that the Ten Commandments are repeated. They're not only found in Exodus 20, but they're also repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And whenever anything is repeated in Scripture, take note. It's as if the Spirit of God is saying, it's very important. The Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions. They're not suggestions. They're commandments. The Lord commands us to keep these laws. So they're not suggestions. God isn't suggesting that we worship Him before other gods. He's not suggesting that we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. These things are not suggestions. He's not suggesting to us that it would be better, perhaps, if you didn't take my name in vain. These laws are not suggestions, they're commandments. You know, there are a lot of suggestions today and advisors and counselors around today. You hear a lot, of course, about advisors in Stormont and special advisors. And of course, there's advisors in Stormont today who ought not to be there. People who have committed heinous crimes. There's also MLAs and ministers in Stormont who have committed heinous crimes and they ought not to be there. But that's another subject for another day. But you hear so much today about advisors and advice and counseling, and there's counseling services. And the idea is that the person advises you about a course of action. This would be best, perhaps. They counsel you, they give advice. Well, in the Ten Commandments, the Lord is not giving us advice. He's not giving us counsel. He's giving us commandments. We are commanded by Almighty God to obey these 10 laws. We can't take it or leave it. The 10 commandments are not optional. Of course, the 10 commandments were written on stone. You remember that the Lord wrote the 10 commandments on the two tables, or some people call them tablets of stone. There's a sermon about the 10 commandments entitled, Keep Taking the Tablets. That's a good title. Keep Taking the Tablets, of course, refers to the two tablets of stone, the slabs of stone. But it is important if you're ill, if you have a cold, an infection, to take the tablets, to take the antibiotics. Finish the course. Well, it's important for us to keep taking the tablets, spiritually speaking. We need to keep obeying the Ten Commandments. We need to keep remembering the Ten Commandments, constantly thinking about them. We need to keep taking our tablets. But I've already said they're written on stone. Now, why did the Lord write the Ten Commandments on stone? Well, it's simply because he wanted us to know that they're permanent. They're permanent. The Ten Commandments are a permanent law. Some people believe, even Christians, that the Ten Commandments were only for Israel. But that's not true. That's not scriptural. Paul, in the book of Romans, he says, the law is holy. He didn't say the law was holy. He said it is holy. It still has a purpose. It's still binding upon us today. So the Ten Commandments are permanent. And of course, they were written by the finger of God. Did you know that the Roman Catholic cult, I was going to say church, but I'll not say church because it's not a church. The Roman Catholic cult has desecrated the Ten Commandments. The Roman Catholic Church has made a mockery of the Ten Commandments. They've removed the Second Commandment. The Second Commandment is deleted. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now, why did the Roman Catholic hierarchy decide to delete the Second Commandment? Because the Roman Catholic system is full of idolatry. It's full of images. It's full of superstition. So the Second Commandment was an embarrassment to them. It was a rebuke to them. So they've deleted the Second Commandment. Well, that leaves 9 commandments. Well, again, that's embarrassing. What are they going to do? Do you know what they did? They divided the 10th commandment in 2. And now the 10th commandment is divided in 2. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. It's divided into 2. You see how the Roman Catholic cult has made a mockery of the Ten Commandments. We could go on to say, of course, that the Roman Catholic system makes a mockery of the whole of the Bible, tramples upon Scripture. It puts tradition and it puts the papal bulls and the papal laws above the Holy Scriptures. How sad it is. How sad to see so many dear Roman Catholics caught up in the system, and how sad it is to see the cars parked outside the chapel every Sunday morning. It's a sad thing. It's a sad sight. We need to pray for the deliverance of these dear people. But I want to ask the question, as we bring the meeting to a close this morning, I want us to ask the question, what is the purpose of the Ten Commandments? Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Well, first of all, they show us what God is like. They show us what God is like. Whenever you consider the Ten Commandments, you realize that God is holy. Now notice I didn't say you realize that God is love. Now he is love. He is a loving God. But do you know the Bible talks more about his holiness than his love? The Ten Commandments were given so that we might recognize that the God who has created us is a holy God. Exodus chapter 3, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. That's the first reference to holiness in the Bible. Moses at the burning bush, the presence of God was in the flame. And God says to Moses, take off your shoes, Moses. The place you're standing is holy ground. Why was it holy ground? It was holy ground because God was there. Wherever God is, it's holy. It's not holy wherever I am or wherever you are. No, no, that doesn't make any place holy. It's wherever the Lord is. That's holy. Hebrews chapter 12, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, the holiness of God. Of course, the wonderful news of the gospel is that God gives us his holiness. God gives us that perfect holiness that covers us, that clothes us, that hides our iniquities and our sins and makes us acceptable in his sight. That's the gospel. And because he gives us that holiness, then we are able to see the Lord, as it were. We're able to enter into his presence. We're able one day to enter into his eternal presence. The Ten Commandments show us that God is holy. Many, many times in the scriptures, the Lord is described as the Holy One. Time and time again, the Holy One, the Holy One, the Holy One, the Holy One. Emphasizing for us the holiness of God. You see, the standard of God is absolute perfection. His standard is absolute perfection. And when we look at the Ten Commandments, we realize that if a person is to be able to keep those Ten Commandments, and if they're successful in keeping the Ten Commandments all of the time, then they must be perfect. Only a perfect person is able to keep the Ten Commandments every hour, every day, all the time. And there's only one perfect person who ever kept the Ten Commandments. It's the Son of God. I hope you weren't deluding yourself today that you've kept the Ten Commandments. Now, you might be a decent, respectable person, helpful and kind, but you've broken God's law. You know, even if you had only broken God's law on one occasion, which, by the way, nobody has ever done. We've all broken his law many times. But even if you only broke the Ten Commandments once, that would still make you a sinner. You would still be condemned in the sight of a holy God. Because, you see, his standard is sinless perfection. You see, it's because he is perfect. He is sinless. The Lord is without blemish. The Lord is without sin, and therefore it's logical that his laws would present to us a standard of absolute perfection. So first of all, the Ten Commandments show us what God is like. Secondly, they show us that we are lost. They show us that we are lost. Romans chapter 3, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Did you get that? By the law is the knowledge of sin. Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? He gave us the Ten Commandments so that we might have the knowledge of sin, so that we might know that we have sinned, that we might see the areas of our lives wherein we have sinned against Him. By the law, by the Ten Commandments, is the knowledge of sin. The Ten Commandments are like a mirror. I'm sure you looked in the mirror before you came out this morning. If you're male, if you're a man, you probably glanced in it. Your wife might have spent a wee while longer at the mirror, but we'll not go into that subject. But the mirror is just like the Ten Commandments. God's law is like a mirror. You see, whenever you stand in front of the mirror, you see the dirt. You see what's wrong. But you wouldn't go to the mirror and rub the mirror on your clothes trying to clean your clothes. Or you wouldn't rub the mirror on your face if you've got a dirty face. The mirror shows you where the dirt is, but the mirror can't clean you up. That's just what the Ten Commandments do. They show us what's wrong, but they can't clean us up. No, they can't redeem our poor, sinful souls. Galatians chapter 3, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The Ten Commandments show us that we are lost. Over the last week, I'm sure you have seen on the television all the talk about the singer Whitney Houston. How sad, how tragic it is to think of a young woman who, because of her drug addiction, is now in eternity. They say that she had a $100 million fortune and she squandered it all, spending much of it on crack cocaine, ruining her life. And at the age of 48, she's in the great eternity. Lost. A poor sinner. Hooked on cocaine. But then that reminds me that you're just as lost as Whitney Houston. You in the meeting today. And the people in new buildings. The self-righteous, respectable people in new buildings today. You know, we're all just as lost as that poor woman. You might say, well, sure, how could I be as bad as her? I couldn't be as guilty as her. Someone on cocaine, taking drugs, living in pleasure, living a life of rioting and revelry. Friend, you need a Savior just as much as she needed a Savior. You're no better than her in God's sight. You're just as lost as she was. The Ten Commandments show us what God is like. They show us that we are lost. Then they show us where we should look. They show us where we should look. Romans chapter 10. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's where we should look. Do you want to be redeemed today? Do you want to be saved? Do Do you want to know the joy of sins forgiven? Do you want to be justified in the sight of a holy God? Then look to Christ. Put your faith in Him. Don't put your faith in yourself. Look to Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, is the words of the prophet. We are to look to Christ. You know, C.H. Spurgeon was converted in a little Methodist church one night. The preacher, because of the snow, because of the inclement weather, wasn't able to make it to the church that night. And one of the deacons in the meeting had to step forward and take the meeting. And my, he stammered and stuttered his way through the service. But on one occasion, he quoted that text of Scripture, "Look unto me and be ye saved." And then he saw young Spurgeon sitting with his head down, full of guilt. And he said, "Young man, look to Christ. Look away to Christ." And that night, the Prince of Preachers was converted. If you want to be converted, dear friend, this is the command of Scripture. Look away to Christ. Matthew chapter 5, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Some people think the Lord Jesus came to put an end to the Ten Commandments, to do away with the law of God, to make it irrelevant and outdated. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus did not come to destroy the Ten Commandments. He came to fulfill them. He came to keep all Ten Commandments perfectly so that you and I could be saved. He came to obey the Ten Commandments. He came to do something that we could never do. And through His perfect life, we can find acceptance with God. Through His perfect life, we can be clothed with His glorious righteousness. The Ten Commandments show us what God is like. They show us that we are lost. They show us where we should look. But then for those of us who are saved, the Ten Commandments show us how we should live. How we should live. The Ten Commandments were given so that Christians would live a holy life. Holiness is important after you're saved. Not before, because you can never be holy until you're saved, until you're redeemed. There's no point trying to be holy, for all your righteousnesses in the sight of God are filthy rags. But after you're converted, thank God, it's possible with the power of Christ and the fullness of His Spirit to live a life of holiness. You know, the Faith Mission have a good motto. Their work is to spread scriptural holiness. Isn't that what they say? Spreading scriptural holiness throughout these islands. That's a good motto to have. Now, mind you, it's scriptural holiness. I'm glad that they put that in there. Because there's some people have a very queer understanding of holiness. Scriptural holiness. It's so important. 1 John chapter 3, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Why is it important for you and I who are saved to live holy lives? Because if we don't, God won't hear our prayers. There's no point praying. Our prayers will go no higher than the ceiling. You see, God does pay attention to the man or woman who lives a holy life by the grace of God. Their prayer will be heard. You've all heard during the past week of the crisis that has hit Rangers Football Club. You know, I suppose one of the main reasons why Glasgow Rangers are in the situation they're in today is because they were careless. When it came to the checkbook, they were careless. And if I can put it like this, they just threw the money round them. Oh, we'll sign him, £10 million. We'll sign him, £20 million. The money was just being thrown out left, right, and center. And you know, it's no wonder that they're in administration today because of their carelessness. Of course, there's a lot of other football clubs are exactly the same. Carelessness. Well, may God help us who are saved not to live careless lives. May God give us grace and strength to have done with a careless Christian life. May the Lord help us to live a holy life in thought, word, and deed. God forbid that we should be guilty of loose living. Lord, forgive us for the times whenever we have lived in a careless manner and we've played with fire and we've played with the world. Forgive us. Turn us, Lord, and give us grace to live as we ought to live. 1 Thessalonians 4, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. You know, John Wesley believed in holiness. He believed that in the life of the Christian, there was something wrong if sin was reigning. Now, he did believe that sin still remained in the life of the Christian. Of course, that's very scriptural. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Yes, the Christian still has the old man. There's still a battle with temptation. Sin remains, but it shouldn't reign. Sin does remain in the child of God. It will never be totally eradicated until we reach heaven. But I tell you, there's something wrong with a Christian where sin reigns, where sin is reigning, where sin is a habit. It's habitual. It's a lifestyle. Yes, sin does remain, but it ought not to reign. May God deliver us if sin is reigning within us. You know, the Lord is more concerned with our holiness than our happiness. As many people think that, oh, God's just worried about making us happy. Well, I want to tell you today, that's not God's main objective. God's main objective is to make us holy. Holiness is his main objective, not happiness. Now, if you're holy, you'll be happy. You see, holiness leads to happiness. Oh, that God would help us to live holy lives. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The Ten Commandments, they set before us 10 laws that urge us to follow a life of holiness.